Welcome to the Music 3.0 podcast by Plus Music. I'm your host, Brian Karsig, along with Nick Venti. And today we have a special guest, Michael Jacob, CEO and founder of Lemonade.ai. Lemonade is an innovative music creation software that uses cutting-edge AI algorithms to generate chord progressions and melodies for songwriters. While some musicians might initially find this concept intimidating, Michael sees Lemonade as a tool for inspiration and creativity. As a former hip-hop artist turned tech visionary, Michael shares his unique journey with us and explores the impact of generative AI on the music industry. So sit back and enjoy the conversation as we delve into the world of AI music with Michael Jacob, today on Music 3.0. Welcome to the show. Why don't we start it off? MJ, we'd love to hear a bit about Lemonade AI, how you got started, and what you are for our listeners here.
Yeah, absolutely. I figured step one in doing any of these, just like what is Lemonade questions, got to take a step back and like, not to sound narcissistic in the approach, but you just got to get to know me first. Sure. So being said, you know, I want to just quickly explain like how I fell in love with music and then technology. And that's essentially, you know, the short answer for Lemonade, right? I fell in love with both topics, but taking a full step back for music specifically, you know, I think I'm super grateful for struggles and tragedy because they lead to something that can just create a passion later in life. That's something I've become very, just convicted by, which is something that you've either loved or something that traumatized you or something that really hurt you as a child will likely end up being something that you are extremely passionate about when you're older. So for me, my father was arrested at a young age, so when I was 11 years old, and that sucked because both my parents are immigrants coming from India. And when my dad got arrested, he was the primary source of like income for the family. My mom had to figure it out, right? And she was a cashier at Walmart, so she was making like $8 an hour. So all that being said, supporting a family on $8 an hour in Northern Virginia was just not sustainable for the sake of like, you know, living in a normal home. So we essentially became by definition homeless for a few years. And in that we were like house hopping to a few places. We ended up living in this basement of a family friend's Section 8 home for a while. In the midst of all of that though, you know, I'm so grateful for that struggle because what did it do? It made me fall in love with hip hop music. And it taught me how important like hustle became. So falling in love with hip hop music, why is it connected? You know, I think it's pretty obvious, but struggle and hip hop are very connected with one another.
Yeah.
So for me, like when I was 11 years old, I started to listen to rappers like, you know, Jay-Z, you know, I'll mention at the time, of course, Kanye West. I know things are crazy now with him, but you know, Kanye West, Eminem, the list goes on. So though all those artists had one thing in common, they were handed terrible cards, just like as young folks, and they decided not only were they going to make it out, but they were going to be someone great. They were going to actually like change the world in some way, shape, or form, or change their own financial situation so great that they're going to be like, you know, coveted individual. So anyways, that was the artist that were preaching to me as a young kid. So I fell deeply in love with music, and I'll save the musical journey now because you might talk about it a little bit later. So that's kind of music, like how I fell in love with it. And, you know, over the last decade, almost two decades, I've been still making music. On the technology side, though, that came out of the exact piece of poverty, which was when I was 16, 17, my older brother was like, yo, this rapping stuff you're doing is cool. And by the way, I'm a hip hop artist. So specifically rapping, producing, engineering is all that I was up to. But on when I was 17, my brother was like, yo, this hip hop stuff is cool, but you got to find a way to make money if you're going to like make it out of this basement and like be able to provide for your own family, support our mom, et cetera. So, you know, those are pivotal conversations because I was like, you know what, maybe I'm not meant to be a rapper when I grow up. Maybe I just have to like go into a professional career and that's that. So I ended up just Googling which major makes six figures as quickly as possible. And something in technology popped up and I was like, all right, like, let me try to get into tech. And, you know, ended up doing that at college, graduated, and kind of lived this double life for a while of professional day job and continuing rapping and making music, list goes on. So then I just have like 30 more seconds to end this. When I got to, you know, I'd say 10 years later of working in a professional tech career, I learned just so much about like AI, cloud computing, et cetera. And then I was like, wait a second, I feel like I've learned a lot about the struggles of what it's like to be an artist. And specifically for me, it was around music theory. I have like, just no, like, I feel like I can get deep if I really want to, but like, I'm way more interested in making a vibe or making a like cool song so I can rap on it as quickly as possible. To take a step back, learn all the keys, the scales, what notes are right or wrong or whatever. It felt almost a little too scientific for me as mm-hmm. when I'm working with my music brain. So then I was like, well, the fundamental of AI is what you put in is what you get out. What if I just trained a bunch of models on melodies that I had in the past and that I think sound good? Can it help me make new music, right? So that was my hypothesis. I released this EP called Natural Causes, which I would say hypothesis checkmarked in terms of it was proven it could definitely be helpful. And then after that, I had a few producers reach out and say, that's super cool. You use AI in your workflow to make that EP. How can I do that as well? So that's kind of where the crux of, all right.
And it was birthed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would say it's 29 years in the making, but yeah, that's where we're at.
So we could jump around this. We'll probably just jump around here, but you know, I think maybe a good jumping off place would be you. So you were early days in coming up with a concept, building out a model, you know, doing something that could assist your workflow. Then you basically what Lemonade is it's a VST for, you know, like a digital audio workstation, right? A DAW. And so just to give everybody like a sort of catch up on what you built, and you can tell us about that too. But how much music do you need to train an AI model?
Yeah, that was a fun process because one, I think you were touching on this, but what I feel grateful for, and I think you guys all can feel the same, is I was working on generative AI problems way before the hype wagon became a thing. You know, like I was reflecting on some YouTube videos I made 3 years ago on like music and AI. And it was cool to know that, like, you know, I'm grateful that I feel like Lemonade is by no means jumping on the hype train and trying to make a quick buck. Like 2.5 years ago was when I started the journey, maybe 3 years ago, and I saw so much potential in it. The truth is the fundamental of AI, the more data, the better. That's just like true mm-hmm. for most every, not even most every single ML problem. I would almost go on record and say that's true. Obviously, the quality of the data is another story as well, making sure that it's actually good enough. Like a lot of garbage in will just lead to a lot of garbage out. So those are the two biggest problems within any machine learning issue. So that being said, it was a lot of trial and error in terms of like starting off with like, you know, a 50s into the hundreds. And for me, I realized that it's got to be into the multiple of thousands of data set size before you start to get something meaningful. And in order to get something in production, you know, the world's your oyster. We're not in the millions just yet, but you know, that is where we strive to be, hopefully very soon.
Mm-hmm. I got a quick question or comment for you that I'd like to know how relative. A, your story was awesome. I loved the intro. Loved where you came from, how you came up with the concept.
Yeah.
But to Nick's question of how much music do you need to train AI? You know, I've looked into AI, obviously it's an interesting field and I'm interested in it. I read somewhere that AI is almost like dog years, like what you can feed AI in a year, you can get 7 years of what you would basically from raising a little human. And I thought that was kind of neat and interesting, you know, because it's like you said, you feed it a bunch of garbage in the first year. What kind of human being are you going to get mentally over the course of 10 years, you know? But if you're feeding this smart machine learner these great melodies, great compositions, it's amazing what you can build just after 2 years. I mean, we've played around on Lemonade AI. It's awesome, especially the lo-fi stuff.
I mean, I'll say this real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, just want to jump in. The point of garbage in, garbage out makes it super critical for at least how I feel convicted with Lemonade. I'm a musician first, engineer second. So I think a lot of companies are going to start to try to engineer the problem of music. But the key is like how quality is your data set. And I don't think your average, like, you know, scientific engineer is necessarily going to really care about like that melody sounded off and just the training data set before you even get to the hard part, which is the programming and stuff like that. So I do appreciate it. I will say roadmap wise, we intend to like 10x the quality of that in the next couple of months. But that all being said, you know, I just wanted to throw that in terms of like artist driven for music and AI to be a.
Here's like a philosophical question we could talk about with AI, right? Like it's, so if you built a neural network or whatever, and you're, you know, training something, you know, music essentially is a math, it's mathematical, right? You can tell a computer that a key is structured in this way. Here's the notes. This is the parameters, can't go out of that. Otherwise you do key changes and, you know, whatever. So
right.
There's a way to music is like that. So you can feed that into a model, but you touched on something earlier that has everything to do with music that matters, I think, to a human being, right? Because, you know, in a simplistic form, music, we say this on the podcast a lot, music is, it's a human emotion in sound waves. That's ultimately what music is, cool. Right? Yeah. So we made instruments that did that, and so the good musicians, the ones that have that reach us emotionally with their music, have been able to tap into something either from their past, and then they created the craft to be able to get it all the way to a place where that art form reaches an audience, and sort of like then it's a matter of distribution, and there's some other things and factors there, but you kind of know good music when you've heard it, right?
Yeah.
So I think the biggest challenge for, and, you know, I want to talk about some of the myths about AI and AI generated audio in a second. But I think for me, like the canny valley piece, you know, like how do you make a computer make music that's actually going to reach our souls? That'll be kind of a scary moment, because then they'll be kind of Pied Pipering, right, at that point. But that's the hardest thing I think about for art in that way. Like, yeah, you could analyze all the images on the planet, and you could sort of recompose something, and, you know, you get the textures and all that, and that's getting pretty good. But where do you think, you know, as you've been thinking about this problem a lot, how do you think that the music industry will, or let's not call it the industry, let's just stay on generative AI music. How do you think that they'll cross that chasm from, these are just a bunch of blocks of musical sounds and you like might accidentally do something right, but then the end of it is, holy shit, that sounded like I could feel the breakup. I could feel the loss, the pain, the happiness. That last piece of the puzzle, I think, is going to be a lot harder problem to solve, which is how do you train a computer to understand heartache, pain, happiness, joy, truly as a human being? Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good news is I don't want to know the answer to that question, right? And the reason why I say that is because if you kind of backtrack Lemonade's mission, our mission is to democratize technology to empower music producers, right? The keyword is empower music producers. That's in the mission statement for a reason. And we will never be even coming close to replacing a music producer. So the reason why that's so important is because I've thought long and hard about what should Lemonade be. Should it be a full, like, 3-minute song, like, generator where a rapper could walk into a room and just hit a couple buttons and have a 3-minute song that's like 99% done, just a few tweaks to be made. And I decided, like, with strong conviction that I know we will never become that. What I always envisioned Lemonade to be, and where I see generative AI being super useful, is specifically within, sorry, puppy's scratching right now, is specifically within, the ability to inspire, and that's it, like just inspiration. So what does inspiration come from for me? It is hearing a 8 second loop and being like, that feels happy, that, or a 8 second sad loop of that kind of feels like a breakup, but let me put my human like hat on and actually make it sound like a breakup. So let me arrange the track. Let me choose the proper instruments. Let me create like this bridge right before the chorus that like really makes your heart shatter when the chorus drops. You know what I mean? I'm not saying we're never going to get into like arrangements or sound generation either, but my point is more so like, I was very intentional with creating Lemonade 1.0, with just making it clearly 4-bar loops that are just idea starters. The benefit though is, you know, you have this feeling of everything that AI generates is unique. So like something that Brian hears versus Nick versus me in Lemonade 1.0, the statistical chance of us choosing the same melody that we enjoyed based on AI generating it is like less than if you were to get struck by lightning, right? So it's almost that's the cool uniqueness factor of generative AI, in my opinion. But yeah, Nick, sorry, I don't have a golden ticket answer, but I'm grateful that I don't, and I don't want the answer to that one.
Yeah, no, I think that was the best part of it. But what are some of the myths that you think around AI that, like, there's a lot of talk about AI if you're in the tech world at all,
or
if you're just watching the news, like, what are some of the myths that you think are out there right now that people are misconceive AI? And
yeah, I mean, I would picture AI like literally a baby, like a human baby. What does a human baby have for like literal like content in their head? Like, not to be mean, not to call babies dumb, but a baby doesn't have any information. They don't have any knowledge. You have to teach that baby over time, like, and grow and raise that baby to become smart. So I feel like a myth of AI is AI is smart. AI is not smart. It's the people that train the models and the methods they use and the data sets that use that are smart. So I would say that's a quick myth to just bust. I would say the generic term that AI is actually intelligence, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I would just say, like, it's all about the methods. Who's the data scientist training the model? What's the data set you have? There's this whole concept of, you know, machine learning operations to, in real time, make sure you're always updating your models, right? So think about this from that analogy. Imagine you trained your child really well up until 5 years old, and all of a sudden you decided to abandon your kid. You know, sorry if anyone has like a legit familial issues, but you know what I mean? Like, now the kid's 13 years old and they were given no extra education. So that's why like real-time updates and things like that are what truly make the model like intelligent or sophisticated. So yeah, I'd say that's a myth. You can't just like push a magic button and just assume things are going to work really well. It is the people at the end of the day that make the actual algorithms and things like that.
So there are a handful of companies out there that do full generative AI music.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything that you liked?
Yeah, I did. I definitely have. There's a few companies where I feel like I hit a couple like buttons within hip hop or within trap and like got something that I would say was meaningful enough that I was inspired by it. Like, I'm not going to say like, you know, there hasn't been that before. So yeah, I would say overall, I have seen things that I like. I think the only like, you know, tweaks and things to make better, of course, are like, I feel like it felt a little too elevator music-esque. Not saying that Lemonade 1.0 isn't today, but it's like, it felt quite like generic in the feel. And the other pieces, like the instrumentation as well, in terms of like the actual instruments kind of cheapened the MIDI in a way, or cheapened whatever like the source data was. But I would say in the grand scheme of things, you know, there's a few companies doing closer to full song generation. And I think that like there's pieces of what they're doing that, you know, I think can be very beneficial for producers. But yeah,
I think that's... Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask, as I'm seeing here, like ethical AI, and you gave us a little taste of how you train your AI machine with your music.
Yeah.
There's a ton of, you know, there's several AI companies out there, and I'm sure not everybody is using ethical AI. Do you see that being a problem with rights management and things like that in the coming future? Of, I mean, just for example, I heard the Beatles mixed with the French pop star music, and I got to admit, it was kind of rad. You know, like, it sounds like it could have been a Beatles B-side you never heard.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do with that? Because what you trained that with is very obviously the Beatles and French pop.
Yeah, that's actually the... Ironically, the strongest conviction and why I know Lemonade's going to be a winner in the space, because I'm so grateful for hip hop music and grateful for music. So what does gratefulness lead to? Like, again, analogies. When you're grateful for your friend or your significant other, you're not going to take advantage of them. So for me, being grateful for music, I didn't want to take advantage of other artists. And because of that, it was super critical for me to know every single row of data that we had was either mine or a friend of ours that we paid. Like, that is that. Like, none of this data, not even one line of data in an algorithm is from, you know, some random scraped MIDI or some random scraped WAV files or whatever it may be. So if I'm honest, like, when we released 2.0, I have no problems being on our website. Like, what's a differentiator of Lemonade? Well, email your other companies that you're considering and ask them, how did you train your models? Because at the end of the day, if we're taking advantage of music producers, the whole thing's backwards, right? Because then all of a sudden you're taking advantage of already, I would say, generally a marginalized topic, specifically within hip hop, right? Lots of hip hop producers, not in the best financial situation, but they have the most talented, you know, music or whatever it may be. To take advantage of that community that's already trying to make it out is like terrible to me. So anyways, I think ethical AI will always be a pillar. And that's actually the word I forgot to mention in the mission statement. And do it ethically is how we end it. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of issues. The problem and the funny part is it just hasn't been figured out how to solve for it yet. But the thing is, I know people are working on solving for this, right? And what do I mean by solving for it? The ability, I've heard companies working on this, to kind of reverse engineer a neural network and like essentially understand what was the training data set. When that becomes GA'd, you know, like generally available to the public, a lot of companies are screwed, because then that's where the actual like IP rights will come out of that 17-year-old kid. How many 17-year-old kids did you take advantage of never even checking if you can use their data? And now, you know, whoever wants to claim a lawsuit and the millions of people you took data from could probably claim a lawsuit. So that's my take on it right now. The truth is there's a very good chance that the industry never addresses it for the next 20 years or 30 years or whatever. But yeah, I think it's one of those law and AI clearly are not caught up in terms of AI's blowing up so quick that the law just probably will have a few years. But in my opinion, yeah, when it's figured out, it's going to cause some issues.
Well, I think there's a couple of things now, right now, as we're talking, ChatGPT is pretty top of mind, everybody. It's a pretty cool thing. It's been trained on, we don't know, you know, and then Google's going to be releasing their version because they got to keep up now with Bing and like all that. So we have this like AI wars going on, especially in the search and sort of like consumer space. But then there's a bunch of music stuff, and music's pretty rarely available. You could just listen to music. You could figure out a way to load up Spotify and just ingest music over time, right? It's not impossible to do. But I think that it feels like to me that there might be a couple of results here. Like, one, I wonder if the industry will just start to parse itself out, or they just say, I made this by myself. I made this with human beings. This is human made music.
Yeah.
Versus like kind of, and then there might be some hybrid stuff or whatever. Maybe there's just like full on like programmers that all they do is just, they came up with an algorithm and in a style, and that's the artist, and they are the beat, you know. Like, being a musician in the future is you go get a software engineer and knows how to do, you know, build out a model using some of the training sets that are out there, and then get a singer.
So you're saying like a modern day Milli Vanilli?
No, because Milli Vanilli didn't ever sing at all. They didn't sing at all.
That's kind of true. I'm saying
you get basically a band, and instead of getting a drummer or a songwriter or a producer and a singer, you could do, or there might be somebody talented enough to have the chops to do both. Like, MJ's got the chops to write music and perform and write it. So you could be the superstar MJ. You could be the next MJ out there. Yeah. But I think there might be something like that.
Have you heard of FN Mecca?
Uh-uh.
Okay, y'all should look it up to give you the TLDR of FN Mecca. It was essentially, it sounds similar to what you were just describing. He was a avatar rapper, and it was a black avatar in terms of like, I think it was like a play on the metaverse in a way. So it was a meta character.
Is that the Warner one?
Yeah, either Warner or Capitol. I actually don't know who it was. This individual, of course, I don't know what was AI generated, if all the beats were, if all the lyrics were, if the vocal chops were. I don't know what was, but I was so grateful it did not go well. Right. And the reason
Didn't they get a bunch of their like, you made him black? Isn't that stereotyping? Like there was a bunch of stuff in there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I was excited about that because it created a great problem that needed to be addressed of like, it's kind of going back to what I was saying, like, why is ethical AI so important? Because in a way, it kind of stems back to systematic racism as well, right? Because like taking advantage of marginalized communities is what systematic racism is. So it's kind of happening. It's definitely happening in music. So seeing FN Mecca go down the way they did was awesome. In my opinion, I was like, great. Now we can actually have the conversation. Yes, it matters who trained the algorithms. Because again, AI is not smart. The people who train the algorithm are smart. But what about if the people who train the algorithm are intentionally trying to be malicious to a certain audience or demographic, right? Like, you know, this character trained by white people that were saying the N-word, like, I don't know how I feel about that. You know what I mean? I don't know how a lot of people felt about it. And that's why the plane came crashing. So it brought up that other ethical side. Yeah, it brought up that other ethical side of the problem, which I was like so happy about. And then the last piece is, what was like frightening to me was, you know, I'm 29 years old. So at the end of the day, like, I don't even know what group I'm in. I'm guessing still a millennial. I guess you stay a millennial for the rest of your life. But there's, you know, Gen Z. And then there's I forget the name of the even younger audience. But I guess the unfortunate truth is I am seeing on socials, FN Mecca had like, I think millions of followers, if not a few hundred thousand. Again, I don't know how much of that was paid bots or whatever, but that avatar, that meta character definitely created enough hype to have a true following. So then it became this problem for me. That's where like I kind of draw the line. I'm like, dang it, like now this like digital character is a musician. Because tying it back to what we talked about a few times, music has to be human touched in some way, shape, or form. What is the percentage of human touch? You know, debatable. For me, it's like, it might be arbitrary, but I'll just say it, like at least 50% of the music should be touched by a musician before to actually call it like legit song. But I've never listened to an algorithm yet that on its own produced something that made me feel like, dang, I'm reflecting on every bad moment in my life and I feel this human gut connection to it. So anyways, you know, a couple of thoughts that were shared there, but I do think what you were just saying, Nick, kind of already has been happening with like there's rappers that were digital avatars. I think there's a few other types of musicians. You could picture like a virtual guitarist that always is on stage with you, especially as our technology starts blowing up.
Maybe that's where it's backwards. Instead of making, like, for instance, you know, with all due respect, like Beyonce has 24 writers and 16 producers on one track. People are making music right now with samples.
Right.
Samples from other bands, samples from other artists a long time ago. But you could still make an original piece of art with your own original contributions to it. But you just have to credit that song with, this is a sample by the Isley Brothers, Ice Cube. Or this has also got contributions from him, her, and them, Beyonce. Why couldn't you be inspired by an AI algorithm? Use it in a song, even if it is trained by David Bowie, Aha, and Ace of Base. And then you just have to credit that particular thing, almost like you would credit a sample or a co-writer, rather than make a whole new artist with a whole new publishing and master moniker about it and trying to say it's yours. I mean, to me, that would be like Ice Cube releasing Today It Was a Good Day and just saying, this is an Ice Cube track.
In a way, I was going to mention the Lemonade mission is pretty aligned to what you just shared, which is I have people comment all the time on my videos of like, yo, like this is killing the music industry. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I don't think it is, because the truth is this is just like a sample at the end of the day. The difference is, imagine it's a unique sample. So instead of everyone using Ice Cube's It Was a Good Day, it's like you find your sample that's unique to you. So I think it helps you tell your own story even more in a unique way. And I think that's an important point to cut through a lot of, like, how many hip hop songs have used the same sample? You know, I'm sure there's one sample used over like 20 songs that we love. It was chopped and screwed in different ways. But imagine if like there was the ability for like every producer to have their own samples that were able to be inspiring. So that's why I think AI actually is very helpful. But to your other point,
it's an instrument though. It's an instrument. Like, if you really think about it, what you built is an instrument. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a, I think that all that you, what Lemonade's touching on as a product and as a place in the creator's world is it allows for good taste to be able to be the last, to be the driver of who can be an artist or who can't, right? Ultimately, it's like, the only thing holding back some creative people in life from being an artist or musician is they've never spent the time or didn't have access to instruments, whatever it took to learn how to do that art. But it doesn't mean that they don't have in them the ability to make a song that matters to the world, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So just like computers or bicycles for the mind, you know, the whole Steve Jobs thing, I think that it's something in the vein of that, right? Like,
yeah,
there's like, you're making an instrument, other people can make more tech, digital, you know, software based instruments, whatever they are. You just happen to be outputting, here's a, you know, 4-bar, whatever, here's some chords, here's some ideas. Go. But I ultimately, like, I don't see, maybe it's because we're all kind of techie people, but I don't see that as the issue. And I would disagree with the commenters who say that you're ruining the music business. The music business is its own problem. Like, you got 24 writers on Beyonce's song because she's a product.
Yeah.
They make products and their job is to make hit products.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because I think the term artificial intelligence is why people comment. It's ruining the music industry, because like I mentioned, I'm sure most people wouldn't believe artificial intelligence is dumb, right? Like, we already myth busted that. Like, another myth to bust there is not all artificial intelligence is coming after jobs. Not all artificial intelligence is trying to replace everything. Lemonade's AI is an assistive tool, and that's that. It ends at assisting. The word assisting means someone else has to be there with it in order to take it to the finish line. So to your point, I think it's a great like marketing tactic for us to really clarify is all AI is built the same. Not all AI has the same use cases, because I would argue there is some AI, right? You asked me about using like full song generators. They're probably 2 to 3 steps away from that scenario I said I would hope never happens, which is a rapper wants a beat. They're no longer reaching out to a music producer. They're just on a website. I love that one. They pay some random company and they have everything they need to rap. Some people would say that's amazing. I just think at that point you're replacing a like 50% of a personnel required for a song, right? Producer. So that being said, I agree. Lemonade is specifically a tool for inspiration. But it's important to decouple the word AI to a few other categories.
And it's like you're basically, when you say, I just love that you're saying it, it's a tool, it's an assistant. Like when I go on like a Canva or a Webflow or something to build some kind of design, they're going to give me 20 to 30 different templates that I can use to get started, but I'm actually going to have to use some of my own creativity and my own branding to put in there to make it a finished product. And it doesn't necessarily say, this isn't mine.
Right.
That's a great point. It is mine now, you know?
That's a great point, because imagine if you walked into a room with a generic Canva template, you have nothing. You literally have nothing. And that's exactly how I feel with Lemonade output. You have a 4-bar MIDI file. Sweet. Like, what are you gonna do with that? You know what I mean? Like, what's the next step? Well, again, instrument selection, arrangement, layering the core. We all know how deep you can get with music, but it's exactly that. It's templates. You can't do anything with templates. You got to be a true artist to take it to the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think about music, like, okay, so you were part of an indie scene. You had musicians around. You're probably sending mixtapes to people and getting feedback and whatever, and people would send you stuff and you'd be like, yeah, it's kind of derivative, you know. Ultimately, what is going to come out of this, I think, is just a lot of derivative music. Like, it's just going to sound like, it'll just get like, you know, it'll be all the colors mixed into one and it'll just be khaki at the end of the day, right? And like, I think in the music space, it'll take some real tooling to make an AI that's unique. But I mean, fuck, like, I don't know. I'm just not worried about it. I think that the biggest space that's going to get knocked out is going to be the Muzak space, the need for just stuff, audio to be playing somewhere, and where the recipient of that doesn't really care and just needs something happening, right?
Right.
Like, right. That'll probably get knocked out and definitely be an AI solved problem. But nobody ever liked that music anyways, is the thing. Right. Right?
It's literally elevator music could be fully used all the time. Mm-hmm. No one cares who created elevator music.
And the only elevator music I think people still like is like that old Verizon, like hold music that, mm-hmm. you know, now is like, somebody's like, it was in one of the Super Bowl commercials, which is pretty funny, but I think that what the thing is that you're just like, there's a lot of just stuff. Who cares about stuff, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, what matters about music is the people that like it and that connect over it. And there may be some like algorithmic music that people are like, wow, that's really cool. You like that too? Okay, cool. And you connect on it. But that'll be why they connect. But like, you know, Spotify, everything's built on like just human beings that follow an artist, right? And there may be a world where you might hear a song and then you go to a digital concert and there's a digital avatar that goes along with that music. If that was all automated and just like a sentient thing, let's say they got there, I think that's a pretty radical thing to have existed. But most likely there'll be humans tooling it. They'll be doing the marketing. They'll craft the image and the imagery and the ultimate message and stuff. And I think that probably be like, you know, evergreen characters like that, which would be kind of mm-hmm. interesting. But there's also what I think is interesting about the world going forward is somebody can make music for a lot longer than they could if they lived on a digital avatar version of themselves, you know? Yeah. Like
one thing that made Kiss genius, never show your face, and Daft Punk. You're doing it till you're 70.
They had a longer career. Yeah. I mean,
that's an interesting angle. I mean, a few thoughts on that are the thing is that is super unique. I don't know if I fully agree with the idea that the whole process won't be replaced anytime soon, only because I'm not saying that it will, but there's this concept called Moore's Law. I can't remember the exact the time frame for it, but you know, every X amount of years, technology doubles in the advancement. There was a post recently that stated for generative AI, it is outpacing Moore's Law. And the thing is, Moore's Law has slowed down in the last few years. So the fact that it's outpacing Moore's Law leads me to believe, and you can even see it on Twitter, the amount of things that we've seen about like, you know, ChatGPT is it coming out, then Bard's coming out, then like, you know, the parameter search for ChatGPT-4 is 1 billion times bigger than ChatGPT-3. I've never witnessed a time in technology like this before. So that being said, I actually think the exponential growth leads to a traditional prediction like, you know, I don't think it'll be solved in the next 40, 50 years. I don't have enough conviction to say that's absolutely true. And that's why I tie it back to what I started with. Give me one second. Let me make sure. Let me run upstairs real quick. I'm gonna keep the camera on. But as I was saying, the ethical piece is so important because it's just going to be so rapid how much things change. And that's why, like, I know Lemonade is not the only player in this space, and I'm grateful for that. My like call to other founders and other people are like, do it the right way by musicians, for musicians, because the technology is advancing quick enough. If you put the technology in the wrong hands, which it will happen, there's going to be a few bad players in the space, like, in my opinion, bad players. But what's the best way to fight against that? You know, like, how do you drive out darkness through light? So if there's some standards that are set up by a few companies that are like, hey, reach out to your company and see, you know, how they're training their data or whatever, some type of practice or standard, I think it'll be at least be helpful. It's not going to prevent everything. You know, there's the large big tech companies or whatever, people hate on them for the bad practices they have. They still have their place, but there's a reason why people will go to like the local shop in order to buy things and support them, because they might be doing things in a way that is better for, you know, the people they're buying the resources from. So that's kind of where Lemonade Lane is like buying from your local like shop, instead of trying to be that enterprise company that's like, you know, just doing things for the sake of like commoditizing.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I mean, it's just going to be a bunch of choices made by human beings that'll sort of make the difference. Right.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know if there'll be another Napster moment. I doubt that there's going to be I'm sure there'll be people suing. There's already lawsuits. There's a lawsuit against Microsoft for, I think it's like GitHub Autopilot or whatever that service is.
I heard about that. I don't know the details, yeah. But I think I had heard about it.
There's a bunch of lawsuits that are coming out like literally right now. Writers and things like that are using, they're putting suits out. Again, I think the thing is that it's an interesting problem, human problem to experience that we're going to just kind of be a witness to and parts of, you know.
What? Yeah, I think that the cool thing to end that thought on was, I feel like there's been a lot of bets on this is the new internet. Like there's a few technologies that came out in the last few years where I didn't feel convicted while the market was fully convicted in it. Generative AI is the market where I'm willing to bet, regardless of Lemonade, I would double down on this market. Like this is the one where it's like truly going to be game changing. It obviously clearly has, but let's think about it. Large language models are the only ones that have really gone to production. Image generation isn't even fully there, but think about when image generation is able to give you the assets to a Photoshop designer. And then think about the video editing. There's some amazing companies that are able to do like out of the box music videos for you, right? Again, it comes with the same ethical dilemmas we've been talking with music. But the point is every vertical is going to be affected in amazing ways and terrible ways by generative AI. And I think I'm just so grateful to be alive and in this space right now, because it's as if, in my opinion, you were just there when the internet started booming.
It's a pretty interesting moment. Yeah. VR, that didn't quite pan out how people
thought. Yeah, I was a VR developer back in my first job. So that was almost a decade ago, right? So the company was betting big on VR. I was like, shoot, next year, this stuff's going to explode. 10 years later, I don't even own a VR headset and I love technology, you know?
Yeah, AR might happen. I mean, Apple is supposed to be coming out with their thing this summer.
Yeah, I feel like everything Apple touches turns to gold, but we'll see. Except for the Air Home Pod or whatever that thing is called. That was not good. Not sure if you guys have that, but
anyway. No. I never wanted to get it. And that's why it was like, I don't know. Like,
I agree. My older brother has it. It's just one of those, like every other product they touch is gold. But that one, it just feels like another company made it. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to match. It doesn't tie everything together like all the rest of the products do. It doesn't really make much sense.
Right.
Well, hey, this has been a super interesting conversation, MJ. Good luck with Lemonade. Can you give us any hints on Lemonade 2.0?
Yeah, absolutely. So one, the sentiment goes both ways. Appreciate you guys even reaching out. Questions were awesome. I think the stuff you guys are up to already is awesome. I can't even imagine what your roadmap is going to be. For Lemonade, we wanted to get hyper-focused on genres first. So now we're going to get double down in the hip-hop genre because A, that is, again, where my heart's at clearly. But then B, at the end of the day, it's all about your data. And myself plus a bunch of my friends are hip hop music producers. So we have a strategy to be able to like really multiply our data set aggressively. In being able to do that, be able to really empower and enable hip hop producers. So you can imagine a world where you'll be able to not just say uplifting mood, but you want Southern trap specifically, same format as Lemonade in terms of like just giving you like loops for you to be inspired by, but it's just, I think the most important piece I forgot to touch on is AI is cool, but influencing the model is important, right? Because influencing the model is how you allow the artist to come in. Like if you just get a generic uplifting sound because you hit generate, great. But what if you wanted like something very specific, like Drake in the Rain type vibes or something like that? Like that's where I think it'll be a lot more custom and fine tuned. So that's generally our roadmap for this year, allowing for very like custom feels within the genre of hip hop. And, you know, we'll take it from there. We're going to take it 1 year at a time for sure. But I'll say I'm grateful that now, like, you know, I kind of have like a legitimate team that's helping out. And because of that, as you guys know, with your own company, it's just awesome to be able to like have folks that are like bought into a vision and driving with you versus, just people that aren't actually bought into things.
MJ? Good chat again, man.
Yeah. Got to have you on to get when you release part two or 2.0. Yeah, and
the hope is it'll be out like April 20th is the tentative release date. So as y'all know with product, you know, I'm praying we don't push back another hour. But yeah, April 20th, we got a brand new UI, trying to make it a lot more like a platform instead of just a product. And we're also going standalone as well, because we realize a lot of folks, they didn't have the ability to just load things within their DAW. And it was like, I feel like music technology is way too hard. So why not just give someone the ability, if you have a Mac or a Windows machine, just install it on your laptop and use your DAW, right? There's two options that we're going to be releasing. So
cool.
Love it.
Let us know. We'll let everybody know.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you guys again for the time. And I guess we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good.
You got it, MJ. Thanks again, bud. Cheers.
Music 3.0 is a Plus Music podcast. We connect game developers with indie musicians to cultivate great experiences. To find out more about what we do, visit us at www.plusmusic.ai. To submit your music for consideration for our library, email our music team at music@plusmusic.ai. Or if you're looking for music for your next game, email our core team at games@plusmusic.ai. Thank you for tuning in and have a great day.